सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्ति। ॐ समस्तजनकल्याणे निरतं करुणामयं नमामि चिन्मयं देवं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मविद्वरम् सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मविद्वरम्। ॐ पार्थाय प्रतिबोधिता भगवता नारायणेन स्वयं व्यासेन ग्रथितां पुराणमुनिना मध्ये महाभारतम् अद्वैतामृतवर्षिणी भगवती अष्टादशाध्यायनी अम्ब त्वामनुसन्दधामि भगवद्गीते भवद्वेषिणि यं ब्रह्मा वरुणेन्द्ररुद्र मरुतः स्तुन्वन्ति दिव्यैस्तवै वेदैः साङ्गपदक्रमोपनिषदैः गायन्ति यं सामगा ध्यानावस्थिततद्गतेन मनसा पश्यन्ति यं योगिनः यस्यान्तं न विदुत्सुरासुरगणा देवाय तस्मै नमः देवाय तस्मै नमः। ॐ श्री गणेशाय नमः। ॐ श्री सरस्वत्यै नमः। ॐ श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः। एंड क्लोज द डोर। सो इन द 18th चैप्टर भगवान फर्स्ट टॉक्ड अबाउट डिटेल्स ऑफ त्याग एंड संन्यास एंड द वेरियस टाइप्स ऑफ त्याग सात्विक राजसिक एंड तामसिक एंड देन भगवान टुक अप द टॉपिक ऑफ कर्म एंड ही मेंशन्ड फाइव फैक्टर्स इन एवरी एक्शन पंचैतानि महाबाहो कारणानि निबोध में सांख्ये कृतांते प्रोक्तानि सिद्धये सर्वकर्मणा। देयर आर फाइव फैक्टर्स in any action we perform anywhere. One is the body, which is the substratum, adhishthanam, then the ego, the doer, then the karanam, the instruments, the sense organs, organs of action, and the antakarana, the mana, buddhi, chitta, ahankar, all of those. The fourth factor is the energy, which is required to perform the actions, which we call as pranas. And the fifth is daivam, which is the divine grace, which is required for me to perform any action. And then Bhagwan further divided karmas into jnanam, karma, chakarta. So from five, he reduced it to three. Jnanam is knowledge, the vision with which I look at the world. Karma is the actual action I perform, and karta is the doer, that is me. So all of those he divided into sattvic, rajasic, and tamasic. And we have already covered sattvic and rajasic, jnanam, the vision. And we also talked about sankhya, which has three meanings, which we had covered last week. But one meaning is the systematic teaching of the Bhagavad Gita, which Bhagavan starts from the second chapter, sankhya. The second meaning is the supreme knowledge, which is also called sankhya, the highest knowledge. That's why it is said in the 13th shloka of this chapter, sankhya kritante proktani. Once there is a knowledge, then actions become meaningless. The individual may perform or may not perform. We, you and I, we perform actions out of incompleteness, which we call as ichcha. But a realized master performs actions spontaneously. If required, if not, he may just stay in meditation and just bless the world by his presence. That's why Bhagavan says, sarva karman akhilani partha jnane parisamapyate. Then there is no strong desire or inclination to perform actions. So one is the systematic teaching. Second is knowledge. Third is the Sankhya philosophy of Kapil Muni, which talks about Purusha and Prakriti. Purusha being the spirit, the illumining consciousness, and Prakriti being matter. And I think last time somebody asked for more information about Kapil Muni. Since we didn't have time last week, I'll start with the story of Kapil Muni. It's a very interesting story. And then we'll go into the heart of the 18th chapter. So there was a great rishi. His name was Kardama Rishi. And he's said to be the direct son of Brahmaji, manifestation of the shadow of Brahmaji, Chaya. And he was a great meditator, great devotee of Bhagavan Vishnu, and always meditated on Lord Vishnu and remained merged in that presence. And Bhagavan Vishnu appears to him in his meditation and tells him that I wish to be born as your son. Now, he was not married. He was a sannyasi. But Vishnu says, I wish to be born as your son. And he tells him that Swayambhu Manu, the first human being in every creation, there is the first human beings called Manu and Shatrupa. And they will come to you with their daughter Devahuti, and you need to marry her, and then I will be born as your son. So he said, okay, he didn't know what to make of it. And a few days later, Manu, Swayambhu Manu, Shatrupa, and Devahuti came. And Manu says, I wish you to marry my daughter Devahuti. She was a very divine lady. And Kardama Rishi said, yes, Bhagavan Vishnu already ordered, so I'll marry her. And so they get married. But Rishi is still staying in meditation, and she also with him just lives a life of sannyas, meditating, eating very little, fasting. And she becomes like a stick, loses so much weight, so thin. And some time passes. And then she realizes that I never even enjoyed the marital bliss of being married. So she approaches the Rishi and tells him that, we did get married, but I didn't enjoy any of the pleasures of being married. So Rishi says, okay, so with his yogic power, he's able to convert her back to that young, beautiful girl she was when she got married. And he says, okay, if you want to enjoy the pleasures, he creates a palace in the sky, which is a flying palace. It's like a space station. And it is flying through, not only through this universe, but through all the 14 universes, this palace can fly. And so they live in that palace for many years, and it has all the comforts, pleasures, whatever you need. And so they have 9 daughters over the years, 10, 15 years. And each one of those daughters gets married to a famous rishi of that time. All of them were very divine souls. And then the 10th one is a son, and that is Kapil, that they name him Kapil. And that becomes Kapil Muni afterwards. And so now Kardama Rishi said, my job is done. Bhagwan Vishnu has already come as Kapil Muni, as Kapil. So I am done. So he tells Devahuti, you know, my purpose is over. So he just does namaskar to her, blesses her and the child. And he leaves to go into the forest to meditate, become one with Brahman and give up his body. So Devahuti brings up this boy, and this boy grows. He's very knowledgeable. He very quickly picks up all the Vedas and the Upanishads, whatever she takes him to the school. And he studies all these Upanishads, very brilliant. And when he becomes a young man, one day Devahuti is sitting and saying, what a waste. So he says, mother, why do you say that? She says, your father was a great yogi, enlightened master. And what did I ask him? For sense pleasures. I want to enjoy the pleasures of this. I wasted that great opportunity. I could have got enlightenment, the highest knowledge from your father. And what did I do? And why do I get so attracted by sense objects? I want this, I want that, I want to experience. Why do I do that? And how can I get this highest knowledge? And Kapil, he was by now called Kapil Muni, very, very, very wise. He was a young man. He says, mother, I will teach you this. And so the son teaches the mother and gives her this highest knowledge, which is called Kapil Gita. I think there may be a copy in the office. There isn't. We'll try to order. If somebody would like, we can order it. But it's a beautiful text called Kapil Gita, where I'll very briefly summarize. He first teaches her about yoga because her mind was running out into the senses. How through yoga, through pranayam, through breath control, through all these techniques and meditation, how to turn the attention inward instead of into the sense objects. And after doing that, he then teaches her how to meditate on the Saguna Brahman, the formful Brahman. So Lord Vishnu, how to meditate on his form, with the head, you know, the body, the hands, the feet. So the Saguna Upasana, where the form of the Lord is meditated upon. And very beautifully, he teaches her that. And this gradually happens. And when her mind becomes very quiet, very still, connected inward, very peaceful, and her mind is filled with this Saguna form of Bhagavan, then he turns her to the Nirguna, the formless aspect. He says, God is not only in form, but also is the all-pervading formless essence. And that is you, that is within you. And so he teaches his mother how to meditate on the formless, that is her own nature. And so this takes a long time, but by then she is now completely changed. She has no interest in the world, and she's just totally interested only in meditation, in the formless, all-pervading Brahman. And so then after that, she blesses her son and she leaves. She says, my purpose in life is over. And then she goes into the forest, sits by a river, meditates, eats little fruit and all, and becomes one with Bhagwan, merges in that reality, realization, and then drops her body. And then Kapil Muni is now free to travel. And so rest of his life, he, so many texts, so many teachings, he wrote so many mantras in the Upanishads, in the Vedas, the Rig Veda and other Vedas. Kapil Muni, they said, it was about 2000 years before Christ. And he wrote several texts called Kapil Upanishad, Kapil Samhita, Kapil Smriti, Kapil Gita, Kapil Stotram, and then many other texts that have all different names. that you can check online. And it is said by Swami Vivekananda, he said that there has never been a greater psychologist in the history of mankind than Kapil Muni. And not only that, but he said every religion, every philosophy owes a debt of gratitude to his teachings that much widely, because he was an incarnation of Bhagwan Vishnu himself. And Buddhism, Jainism, they all borrowed from his teachings. And he talks about Prakriti and Purusha, Prakriti being matter and Purusha being spirit. And he teaches his mother how to go from Prakriti to Purusha, how to get out of this bondage of Prakriti and become one with that. And that we can study in his teachings. And Bhagwan Shri Krishna himself says in the 10th chapter, he says, Siddha Naam Aham Kapilo Muni. Among all the perfected individuals, I am Kapil Muni. That means he's the best among all the Siddhas. So that was the glory of this great master. And we humbly bow down to him, because the Bhagavad Gita is based on the Sankhya philosophy of Kapil Muni, but the Advaita aspect. See, Kapil Muni talked about Dvaita, dualistic theism, that me and God, Saguna, but then from Saguna, the Nirguna aspect. That is what we covered. So we'll just humbly bow down to this great teacher and we'll continue the Bhagavad Gita. Thank you, Induji, for suggesting. It gave me a chance also to study about him, and it's a blessing. So we'll go to shloka number 22. So far we have talked about Sattvic and Rajasic Jnanam. And Sattvic Jnanam is Avibhaktam Vibhakteshu. In this whole divided universe, there is one undivisible consciousness, even though the universe looks divided, you, me, him, her, chair, you know, house, space, all that. But there is one indivisible consciousness, and one who sees that, that is Sattvic Jnanam, that is Sattvic knowledge, Sattvic Buddhi. But and he sees oneness not only in this consciousness, but in all beings. He says, they are all me. That is the Sattvic Jnanam. What is Rajasic? Rajasic is which sees divisions. I am separate from you, from him, from her. This is my house, that is your house. This is my built body, your body. And in that division, there is competition. So that is Rajasic. And also there can be a trace of selfishness. I am separate from you. We'll talk more about Sattvic karma and Rajasic karma today. What we'll do first is Tamasic karma. So in Sattvic, they focus on the cause, which is the cause of this whole universe. In Rajasic, they focus on the effect. But they distinguish you, me, separate. So now what is Tamasic Jnanam? How is Rajasic differed from Tamasic? It's there only in degree. That's what Gurudev says in his commentary. So we'll chant shloka number 22, chapter 18. Yattu Krishna Vade Kasmin. Karye Saktamahaitukam. Atat Vartava Dalpancha. Tat Tama Samudahritam. Yattu Krishna Vade Kasmin. Karye Saktamahaitukam. Atat Vartava Dalpancha. Tat Tamasamudahritam. So after Sattvic and Rajasic, Bhagwan is telling us what is Tamasic knowledge, Tamasic Jnanam. What is Tamasic vision, which is the lowest? Yattu, that which is what? Krishnavad ekasmin karye. Ekasmin karye means in one sees the whole, only in one small aspect. He sees Krishnavad as the whole. So only he focuses on one small thing and thinks this is all. And how does he function in the world? Saktam, attached, extremely attached to his own particular idea, his own particular, and we'll talk in more detail. And ahaitukam, and there is no logic. He doesn't even think, why is he doing this? Then, atatvarthavat, means there is no essence, there is no substantial reality in his thinking, and alpam, and his thinking is very narrow, and that is called tamasik. So tamasik is a narrow vision, without logic, without any essence, who sees only one part and consider it the whole. So we see that one is to focus on the cause. Rajasic focuses on different cause, as effects. Tamasic takes only one effect and says that alone is real. And in that aspect, he becomes fanatical, he becomes violent, he will destroy others. If anybody who doesn't believe as I believe should be destroyed, should be finished. And my point of view alone matters. I don't care about anybody. Rajasic at least thinks there are different points of view. He says, no, my point of view alone is. And for that, he's ready to do even a small aspect he will focus on, and that alone is important. And he will be ready to commit any acts of violence, anything he will do. And it's not only tamasic is some other individual, but we also, that's why Gurudev says, we all this we have to look within. We also, as a teenagers, went through this tamasic aspect. What do we mean by that? A teenager, if his parents say, don't get your ears pierced, first thing he will do, go get his ears pierced. Don't put tattoos. No, if my parents say, don't do it, I will do it. And what my parents say, do, I won't do it. So that is the phase we all have gone through that. And that in Bombay, they call it ulti khopdi, means his mind is ulta. You know, whatever the world says, he won't do. And whatever the world don't do, he will do. And it can be drugs, it can be alcohol. Not only that, but even when it pertains to God, the Sattvic says there is one God, consciousness, and that is taking various forms. Shri Krishna, Shri Rama, Lord Shiva, Mother Saraswati, Jesus, Buddha, they're all one consciousness expressing as various aspects of divinity. Rajasic says, no. My God is different from your God. I only believe in Krishna. I don't believe in Shiva. Or Jesus alone is the path. There is no other way. Or Allah alone is, you know. So that is Rajasic. Tamasic is that whoever doesn't believe in my God, I have to kill. My God alone is important. And if anybody believes in any other God, I should kill that person, destroy his temple, his, you know, life and everything. So Rajasic and Tamasic is a much worse aspect of Rajasic. And as we said, it makes them fanatic. Where anybody who doesn't believe me is worthy of being killed. And if I kill them, I'll get a place in heaven. That's their thinking. And we find it is not only in people, but also among nations. You know, my nation alone is important. And I don't care how many other countries I destroy to get my power. Like what is happening in Ukraine, where one person's, ego and one person's desire, no matter how much destruction happens, they want to reestablish that old Soviet Union. Or even among states, sometimes we find that a person says, my state alone is best, it is important. I'll only care about development of my state. I don't care what happens to the country. So it can happen in any ways, at the individual level, community level, my community, my language, my culture, or at the national, even at the international level. And we find that in the people who manufacture weapons, you know, arms, like the Manhattan Project, where they made nuclear bomb, which destroyed, you know, two cities in Japan. Now, the best brains were working on it, and they were saying, oh, you know, we are going to make the best weapon, the best bomb. But nobody thought that what destruction is going to be caused. And nowadays, people who work in the defense industry, they make weapons. Defensive weapons is okay, but we find there are some brilliant brains who say, you know, this nuclear bomb, atom bomb you have made is too bulky. Let me make it smaller and more powerful. So the best brains are developing more and more powerful weapons, which can destroy cities, can destroy humans without even affecting the cities. All this. So the person who is working only looks at his aspect. You know, he said, I go to work, I go through a few papers, I do a little work, and then I go for a beer. That is his idea. But what is he making and what is going to be the result? People don't think. So, and people say, you know, defense industry will talk about in the next shlokas. But, and for them, there is no question of giving. It is only taking, taking, taking. They won't give anything. This reminds me of a story. So there was this charitable organization, I think Red Cross, and they went to this millionaire. There was this successful businessman. And they go to him asking for donation, and they say, sir, you know, we have done some research, and our research shows you make more than $1 million a year, but you don't give anything to charity. They knew that he makes more than $1 million a year and gives nothing to charity. So he looks at them. He says, your research showed this? They said, yes, sir. Yeah. He says, did your research show that my mother is sick in the hospital, has been there for a couple of months, and her hospital bills are so big that she's going to lose her house? Did your research show that? He said, no, sir, no, sorry to hear that. And he said, and did your research show that my brother is a disabled veteran? He's on a wheelchair, he's blind, and he has no money. Oh, no, sir, sorry, we didn't know that. And he said, and then did your research show that my sister is a widow? Her husband died in a car accident a few months ago, leaving her with 3 children and no money. Did your research show that? He said, no, sir, our research didn't show all that. He said, well, you should have known. If I don't give anything to those 3, why would I give anything to you? I don't help them, so who are you? So that is tamasic, where, you know, I mean, where there is such a need, and he still, you know, so that's what they're saying. So that is tamasic, where they only take and they do not give, and they do not care how many people get damaged. So then, this is a little depressing. So let us go to a good one, sattvic. Now this is sattvic karma. We already finished sattvic, rajasic, and tamasic, jnanam, vision. Now we'll do sattvic karma, shloka number 23. What is sattvic karma? Niyatam sangarahitam. Ragadveshatakritam aphala prepsuna karma yat tat sattvikam uchyate. Together, niyatam sangarahitam ragadveshatakritam aphala prepsuna karma yat tat sattvikam uchyate. So what is sattvic karma? Now a person with sattvic vision, how does he or she work in the world? So it is said, niyatam. Niyatam means what is the required duty. And we'll talk about that. What is niyatam karma? We have talked about it before, but again, I'll just mention it briefly. And sangarahitam, without any attachment. So he does his obligatory duties without any attachment. Araga dveshataha. Raga dvesha means likes and dislikes. Araga dvesha means without likes or dislikes. So an action which is done, which is required, done without attachment, without likes and dislikes, and a phala prepsuna, and even without any worry about the fruit, when he does the action, he does the action. Result will come. He knows that, or she knows that. But at the time of action, he's not concerned about the fruit, and definitely not selfish result. What am I going to get out of it? No. What will society get out of it? So that kind of karma, which is done, is yattat sattvikam uchyate. That is said to be sattvic karma. So just quickly summarize the five kinds of karma. One is nitya karma. Nitya means daily duties. You know, daily, whatever, I have to take a bath, eat breakfast, go to work, you know, work in the kitchen or wherever. That is daily duty. Then nitya. Then naimitya is a special duty. Like somebody got married, I go and bless the couple. Or a new child is born, I go take a gift. Or somebody passed away, I go express my sympathy. Or there is a special function, you know, Diwali or Christmas. Today we are celebrating Holi at the Chinmaya Mission. If anybody wants to play colors, they are welcome to come. I know from Zoom they can't, but we will be having Holi at the mission. We will have lunch and colors. So that is a special occasion. Okay, today we are celebrating Holi or Christmas or New Year. You know, so those are, and duties performed at that time is called naimitya. Then the third is kamya karma. So these are obligatory duties. Third is kamya karma, means desire prompted activity, that what will I get out of it? And those should not be performed. The idea is how I can contribute or give. Of course, I need income and I need my life, you know, but my focus should not only be on what will I get out of it, but what I can give. So nitya, naimitya, kamya. Then fourth is nishiddha. Nishiddha means forbidden actions. And all the scriptures tell us, you know, that you should not perform forbidden actions, even the Ten Commandments, you know, thou shalt not steal and so on. So forbidden action should not be done. Desire prompted action should not be done. And the fifth one is prayaschit, that if I have done a forbidden action by mistake, then I ask forgiveness either from God or from that person I have harmed. Say I have hurt somebody physically or through speech or so on. So desire prompted should not be performed, forbidden. And then if we don't perform forbidden, there is no need to do prayaschit because I haven't done anything wrong. So these are the five kind of karma. So which are the two should be done? Nitya and naimitya, called niyatam. So my daily duties, obligatory, and special duties, and should be done without this selfish desire for the benefit of all. And it is said it should be done without attachment. That what does that mean? That I suppose I'm doing a community service project and I've been assigned a particular job. Now the head of that organization comes and tells me, you know, you have been doing a good job, but we have found somebody else who can do your job better and we want to shift you. You don't say, no. I have been doing this for last 5 years. I'm not, no. Whichever, whoever is the best for this job, let him do it. And I don't mind being moved to another place. But if you get attached to a job, even it could be a sattvic job, it could be a service project. But if I get attached, then that is called sangha. Or I do action with phala. What am I going to get out of it? What is going to be? Even I may be doing sattvic action, but you know how I want my church to grow, become the most powerful church. You know, then even that can become, oh, there is a church down the street and they have more members than I do, or the temple down the street, or the, and how can I get bigger? Yes, you do your best, whatever you can, but not with the idea of competing, that, you know, trying to be better, because then even a sattvic action can be contaminated with rajas. because then it becomes complete. I do my job. I do what is best. I dedicate my actions to Bhagwan. God is working through me. I am not the doer. And that is called Sattvic Karma, but is also called Sattvic Tyaga, because earlier Bhagwan had said, what is Sattvic Tyaga? Doing actions without fruit, without attachment. And so by doing Sattvic Karma, I'm automatically doing Sattvic Tyaga. So Bhagwan says, two for one. You buy one, second one is free. So here you do Sattvic Karma and automatically it becomes Sattvic Tyaga. That's what Bhagwan has said. That Sattvic Tyaga is not giving up action, but giving up fruit and giving up attachment. And as we said, it is done without any likes and dislikes. Whatever work has come to me, has been assigned, I do it. Not that I like this work, I don't like it. Whatever my, wherever I have been placed, whether I'm a housewife or a mother or a father or a child or whatever, my duties I perform without likes and dislikes, without doership, dedicated to God. And again, Aphala Prepsuna, without worrying about what am I going to get. Now, this Phala is also another commentator I was listening to has interpreted it very differently. He says, Phala means result, effect. And what comes first, the cause or the effect? The cause comes first and then effect comes afterwards. So like I plant a seed and then the mango tree will come out after, you know, a few months, and then it will grow and then give fruit after 5 or 10 years. So effect comes after the cause. Now effect is changing, but that ultimate cause is non-changing. See, the ultimate cause of this universe is that Brahman, that consciousness, and everything else is effect. This whole universe, this earth, this everything, mountains, trees, everything are effect. So that cause is one and the effects are many. And as long as I'm focusing on the effects, I'm focusing on the temporary. But if you go to that ultimate cause, then that is Sattvic and that is Bhagwan, that is consciousness. So they say when you're working without worried about fruit, because fruit is the result, is the effect. So from the result, from the effect, you go to the cause. So from this world, instead of focusing too much on this world, turn your attention to that ultimate cause, which is my own true nature. The other thing that Sattvic people do when they work in the world, they work, the people matter. Not profit, not what can I get out of it, how the maximum people can be benefited. And we'll see in Rajas and Tamas, where people are not as important as what I can get out of it. So for a Sattvic person, he's, and that's why Gurudev in his commentary says, all great philosophers, masters, their actions were Sattvic because they worked unselfishly for the benefit of mankind. They shared the vision. There was no copyright. You know, Jesus didn't say, I copyright the Bible. The Upanishads don't even have the author's name. Many of them don't. We don't even know who the teacher was, who the student was. So there was no patent. There was no copyright. There was no idea of profiting. How can maximum people benefit? And as we have studied, even after these masters left, the teachings have grown. There are, you know, billions of Christians and billions of Buddhists and so many Hindus, and so much this knowledge has spread. How many people have studied Bhagavad Gita, have taught Bhagavad Gita? Mahatma Gandhiji used Bhagavad Gita throughout his life to guide his vision. So these teachings are eternal and they are given for the benefit of mankind. So that is Sattvic. Now, what is Rajasic? Let's do Rajasic, shloka number 24. Rajasic karma. Yattu kamepsuna karma. Sahankarena vapunaha. Kriyate bahulayasam. Tad rajasamudahritam. Yattu kamepsuna karma. Sahankarena vapunaha. Kriyate bahulayasam. Tad rajasamudahritam. So having studied sattvic, now Bhagavan is telling tad rajasamudahritam. What is rajasic karma? Yattu, but that which kam ipsuna. Ipsu means the desirer of desires. Yattu kam ipsuna karma. So that action which is done with a particular desire, that I should get what I desire. And sa ahankarena, with ego, I am doing it. I did so much. I, my. Va, punaha, punaha. So again and again, this person does actions with the ego and with the desire. And kriyate, and how is this action done? Bahulayasam, lot of effort. It's so hard. I do so much. It is so difficult. Tad rajasam udahritam. So what is rajasic action? Done with desire, with ego, and putting lot of effort. So we said desire means I and my. So I have done it. It's my job, my company, my house, my this, my that, my car, my... And constant, this ego is there, that I am great, I am so good, I am so powerful, I able to show off. And a lot of effort is wasted. See, a sattvic person will come quietly, do his work and leave, and people may not even know it. But what will a rajasic person do? Show how busy I am. He'll go to the office, sending emails here and there, making phone calls, calling meetings, and sending reports to his super. People think he's doing a great job. You know, wow, he's doing a wonderful job. At the end of the day and the end of a year, his result is very poor. This sattvic guy has accomplished a lot more, but because he didn't make noise, quietly did his work in the company also, that person won't be recognized. But this person, look how many meetings, how many emails, how many phone calls, all this, you know. And then if they give him a project, how long will it take? He knows project should take about 5 to 6 months. He'll say, sir, in 8 months, I will do the project. How much budget do you need? He knows budget, you know, should be 200,000. He'll say, no, I need 300,000. And it will take 8 months. And how many people I need? Normally he knows 6 people, but he'll say, I need 10. So he will overestimate everything. So instead of, he'll ask for more money, more time, more people. And then when the project is finished, instead of 8 months, he will do in 7.5 months. What should have been done in 6 months? He knows. And instead of the same thing, he will use more people. And instead of using 500,000, he'll use 450, which could have been done in 300,000. So by overestimating, and then he'll go and say, look, sir, we came under budget. We did it faster. We did it, you know, less people. So that is called show off, where he looks like, and then people say, wow, he did a great job. He came under budget. He did under, you know, did it faster, but he had already planned. So that is rajasic, where activity is done, but more effort than what is required, and the result is poor. And why does he do that? In the 16th chapter, Bhagavan had told us about these people. Go asti sadrisho maya. Who is equal to me? That he wants to show, that I am the best in the company. I am the greatest. I am the smartest. Aneka chitta vibhranta. In the 16th chapter, Bhagavan had said that their mind is so deluded because they are only thinking of I, me, and my, and how, what can I get the maximum profit? And at the end, what they show is the bottom line, that this, my, you know, this company made profit, or this, my branch made profit. they don't show how they made a profit. Like a CEO comes and he goes to the shareholders and the board of directors and said, you know, the company, I made it profitable. But they don't show how did he make it profitable by laying off 50,000 people or 20,000, how many lives they ruined, how many people were laid off, how much, you know, or he'll do some accounting tricks, maybe merge two companies and show their profitability. So all false profits and false projection. And they don't care how many people get hurt as long as the bottom line is preserved, that I did a better job than the previous CEO. The previous CEO maybe was thinking about people, that how can I make this company better and slowly grow? This guy came, slashed the payroll, changed all the policies, made it. So that is Rajas, where they look at progress, look at personal growth, look at what I can get out of it and how I can get promoted. And it doesn't matter if people get laid off. It doesn't matter as long as I look good. So that is pretty bad, right? Tamasic is even worse. So we'll do that next. That is tamasic. And this is actually, Gurudev says it's only in degree. Sattvic is good, Rajasic is not so good, and Tamasic is worse. So Rajasic and Tamasic is a difference of degree, one degree or a few degrees. So shloka number 25. Anubandham kshayam himsam. Anaveksha cha paurusham. Some books say anapekshya. We'll talk about both. They kind of mean very similar. Anapekshya cha paurusham. Mohadarabhyate karma. Yattattamasamuchyate. Anubandham kshayam himsam, anaveksya cha paurusham, mohadarabhyate karma, yattattamasam uchyate. So anubandham. Anubandham, anu means following. Anubandham means what follows? What is the consequence of my action? They don't think about that. Kshayam, how much damage it will cause. Kshaya means how much damage it will cause to me or to the company. Himsam means how much damage it will cause to others. So he doesn't care whether how much it hurts me, us, the company, or how much it hurts others. And anapekshya or anaveksya, without having regard of paurusham, whether do I even have the ability to do it, he will start activity without even looking at the consequences, without looking at how many people get hurt. And he may not even be capable of doing it, but he'll still start the project. And why? Mohat. Because of delusion, arabhyate karma. His actions are undertaken out of delusion, without right understanding. And that is called yat tat tamasam uchyate. That is said to be tamasik. So first we said, what are the consequences? And as we said, it could be harmful to me or to my company. Like I'm wasting so much resources or spending so much of my time, and it's harming us, harming me or the company, but he'll still do it. He'll say, I'm just going to do it. I don't care what others think. And other is himsam. How does it hurt others? So like how many resources I am utilizing the company, how much money I'm wasting, how much time I am wasting, how much effort I am putting, and that is harming me and harming others. So not caring about harm to me or to others is called kshayam and himsa. Anubandha means without worrying about the consequences. You know, like a suicide bomber, you know, he goes and explodes a bomb somewhere in a store or a restaurant, or you know, it hurts him and hurts others. Or we find these people with guns. They are upset at some company, at the boss. So they go with this automatic machine gun in the Second Amendment. Everybody has a right to buy weapons. And then he will not only kill his boss, but kill 10, 15 other people. And then at the end, kill himself. Or the police, he'll, you know, police will come and he'll shoot at them and he'll get killed. So he got killed and 15, 20 innocent people got killed. He's only angry at his boss. That is called kshayam himsam anubandham, without looking at the consequences of it hurting him or others. The example is like a government comes. You know, there was a, say there is a, you know, surplus in the economy. The country is doing very well. And this new president comes, or prime minister. And what he does, he gives tax cut to people. You don't have to pay taxes. You know, cut people's taxes. And people are very happy. Oh, we got cut. He's a very good leader. But in 5 years, he has cut the taxes and reduced the government income, and which was a surplus now becomes a deficit. Now the government is running in, like, our country is running in a $30 trillion deficit. And people don't care, you know, but sometime or the other, you have to worry about the deficit. But a thriving economy, this person drives it underground by cutting taxes, giving benefits to his friends. You know, you get all the contracts and they charge whatever they want. And he approves, you know, the defense. Somebody has given him money under the table or helped him in his election. He makes sure they get all the best contracts. And they charge the government 10 times or 5 times what, you know, their cost is, and everything he approves. So that is tamasic, where he's hurting the company and only helping a few people. And even it can happen at the international level, like it happened with Brazil. Brazil was a very thriving place. And these so-called companies said, we're going to come and develop Brazil, or other poor countries. They have done that. They'll go there and they'll say, you know, we'll develop your country, we'll invest money, we'll create a lot of jobs. So people say, okay. So what they do, they take all the raw material, manufacture it, and then ship it outside. So the people, and they will hire the people on the minimum wage because they are a poor country. So what in the US would cost them $15 or $20 per hour, they'll pay $1 an hour in that country, or, you know, 50 cents an hour. Get the work done, make the profit, ship everything to other countries. So the people of that country got their minimum wage. And then the profit, which should have been invested in the country to develop that country, they'll take the money out, put it in a Swiss bank or in some other company, or take it to so-called develop another country. They make the country poorer by taking its natural resources, taking its, you know, all this. But in the name of progress, they say, oh, we are developing your country. They're actually exploiting it and taking all the copper and minerals and everything. That's what we find that China is, I didn't want to mention, but that's what they're doing. They're going into countries and basically exploiting them. So that is tamasic. Tamasic can also be at the individual level. Like, I know something is bad for me, but I still eat it. Out of taste. I'm a diabetic. I shouldn't be eating sugar. But theek hai, you know, it's okay a little. And then in the process, my blood sugar goes up and then my whole body gets hurt. I get kidney problems, you know, all these heart problems. Why? Because I did not control my diet. So that also is tamasic, where I eat something for taste, but then it is harmful to my body. So that is called kshayam, without realizing that something is doing damage to me. Another tamasic way is where people don't make enough money but go and borrow. Like, my salary is only 5,000, not only, but say 5,000 a month, and I go and buy a BMW worth 100,000, 120,000. I don't know how I'm going to pay for it. I pay down payment, one or two payments I make. And then I stop paying now that they have to come and take the car back, or then I put it on my credit card, you know, and I pay from my credit card, and then the credit card bills come and I pay the minimum and I keep accumulating debt. And finally, I declare bankruptcy. So that's it. I don't pay my credit card. I don't pay the car. I don't pay any. So that is tamasic, where you are worried about yourself and not worried about others. That's why in Hindi, there is a phrase, aamdani athanni kharcha rupaya. You make only 50 cent, but you spend a dollar. How long can you do that? Whether it can be individual, can be a state, can be a community, can be a country. And they say that this is done out of moha, out of delusion, wrong understanding of what is my duty. That is tamasic, where I don't really know why I am doing. So they say that when there is an individual like that, where who is not aligned with all, then that can cause problems, like in an instrument and a violin. Suppose all the strings are tightened, but one is not tightened. It's out of tune. And when you play it, you know, it will create a sound which is not good. Or in a car, there are four wheels, all have to be aligned. You know, when we take it to the dealer, he says, I'm going to align your four wheels. But suppose one wheel is not aligned and running separately, and other three are going, it will cause damage to the car. The tire itself will wear out soon. So these individuals are like those misaligned tires, or like that misaligned wire, in that where their tune they play is different from others. But what is sattvic? Sattvic is where all four tires are aligned, where all the strings of the instrument are aligned. So when people work in harmony for the benefit of all, without worrying about what will I get out of it, that is sattvic vision. Rajasic is I and mine, and I will compete, I will defeat others, I will get the best, I will be the most powerful. That is rajasic. But at least they say, okay, you know, others can also compete. But tamasic is where I must destroy others, those who don't believe in me. So they only succeed by hurting others. And in the process, they hurt themselves too. Because sooner or later, when a country is run on such run in the deficit or run in a, you know, in a bottom line way, where you don't care about people and you only care about profit, sooner or later, that country is going to go down, that individual will go down. How long can you, you know, you can declare bankruptcy once or twice. After that, people will figure you out. Nobody is going to give you. So in the long run, sattvic, actually the tamasic creates sorrow right away. Tamasic creates sorrow right away for me, my me and for others. Rajasic creates sorrow gradually. You know, that, oh, by competition, I put others down, I become better, I become more successful, I become more powerful. And sattvic creates joy all the time. Not only now, but always in the future. So that's why, so again, Gurudev says it again and again, that this is not to judge others, that this person is rajasic and that one is tamasic. It is the idea that Bhagwan is giving all three for us to choose, for us to look within, and where are my actions, rajasic, tamasic, and sattvic? And as much as possible, using this knowledge, I should shift. Where if I'm lazy or tamasic, I should become rajas, do activity. Initially, he says, even do it for yourself, but ultimately evolve to benefiting all. So from tamas, go to rajas, and from rajas, go to sattva. So that is, Bhagwan says, so three kinds of karma. So we talked about three kinds of vision. If I have a sattvic vision, then my actions will be sattvic. And if I have rajasic vision, will be rajasic, and tamasic will be tamasic. Next week, we'll talk about karta, or the doer. Am I a sattvic, rajasic, or tamasic doer? And so these shlokas are very practical and can be applied right now itself, from today itself. So that's why we have to be grateful to Pujya Gurudev, who translated this Bhagavad Gita for us and gave, you know, this beautiful commentary word by word. If you don't have, please get it. And that way he has done a very beautiful commentary. I try to do other commentaries and not so much cover Pujya Gurudev, so that when you read, you will get additional. So please read the commentary either before or after the class. Generally, we do 3 to 4 shlokas every week. And thanks to Amit, we also put them on firstpower.info. So they will be there. So you can review them and listen to these talks again. So just click on firstpower.info from your Google or from Safari, and you can listen to these talks again. Within a day or two, they will be online. So happy Holi to all. We'll be having lunch today, and then please stay for lunch. And then for colors, everybody's welcome to stay for colors. We have about 10 minutes. If anybody has any questions or comments, let me put it on gallery view so we can see everybody. It's not going. It's not going to gallery view. I don't know why.
I see everybody.
You see everyone? Yeah, I'm not here. Yeah, there, you got it. Okay, thank you. Yeah, we see everyone now. Anybody has any questions, comments, either in the audience or on Zoom? Anything you would like to add? Yes, Barbara, go ahead.
I just remember years ago.
Little loud. Is this on? Is mic in? Yeah, speak a little loud so they can hear.
I just remember years ago, reading articles about Southwest Airlines, and how Southwest Airlines was just really a good company to work for, and they, you know, to take care of their people. And actually, that was before I moved here to Bakersfield. Now, one of my best friends, his sons, both work for Southwest Airlines, and they are pleased. And it's a good company to work.
Yeah, thank you. Barbara just said that she knows about people who have worked for Southwest Airlines, and when they are a very good company to work for. They take care of their employees and make sure they are happy, pay them a good wage. And also they have reduced fares for others. You know, they have become more competitive, and they have actually forced other airlines to reduce fares. So they are not only good for their employees, but also for their customers. And you can cancel and, you know, change flights. So yeah, so that is an example of a Satvik company, where of course the company has to make a profit, obviously, but at the same time, you can make a profit and still care for the people. And so, thank you. That's a good comment. Thank you. Yeah, Lata, you can unmute, please.
Is there a degree of tamasic actions that are worse than the others, or one is okay and the others not so much?
I think everything is in degree. It depends on how many people are being hurt, you know, how much damage you are causing, how much loss you are causing, and, you know, so, you know, yeah, there is a degree. The again, depend on, as we said, anubandham kshayam himsam. So if the consequences are worse at a bigger level, it could be at an individual level, could be at community level, could be at international level, where other countries are being cheated and looted and so on. So yes, there are degrees based on the extent of damage.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
To others, yes, and same thing. So rajas and tamas are also in degree. Rajas also, they compete, but at least they're not destroying others, but they are trying to get better and even using dishonest means to get ahead, you know. So that is again a degree, you know, of competition is there, but you know, you're running in a race, but you trip somebody or do something and then get ahead, then that competition becomes tamasic. So it can be at individual or at national, international levels. Yeah, the degree of damage will decide the degree of tamas.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions, comments? Ansa, you would like to, Carrie is talking. Yeah.
Carrie. You know, I was just thinking that, you know, in politics, you know, you see it a lot where someone says that it's all right if I damage or destroy someone in politics because they're bad. You know, in other words, they don't agree with me, so it's okay to damage them. And you know they make their actions, their karma is good because they're supposedly destroying bad.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, again, the same question, what is the motive? You know, mm-hmm. If truly somebody is a bad politician or a bad president or and another honest, better person comes and defeats him, that is good. But if he's using wrong tactics and to a dishonest politician can say that person calling him bad just because he disagrees, but he himself is getting power so that after he gets power, he can make money, become more powerful, you know, get people to, you know, his own followers, cronies to become powerful. So the motive is very important. What is the ultimate goal? Is it good or is it bad? Is it going to help the country or make the country worse? Is it going to help the people or make the people poorer? So am I just doing it for myself or my buddies, or am I doing it for national good? But there is an evil person who is ruling, who is the president, to defeat him, a good person. I don't see anything wrong with that. Again, using proper means, not cheating in election, but, you know, showing the people that this person is not a good president and I can do a better job. That is, you know, that is okay in politics. That's allowed. And same thing, the Kauravas and Pandavas. Kauravas were ruling, but they were evil. And Bhagavan Sri Krishna said they need to be removed. And that's why he supported the Pandavas, who were sattvic people. See, Pandavas were sattvic, the Kauravas were tamasic. So they had to be removed. And when they didn't agree, then even he said, we can split the kingdom in half because half actually belonged to the Pandavas, but they took it dishonestly. And they won't even give an inch. He said, I'm not going to give you even land to cover a tip of a needle. Forget about half the kingdom. So then they had to fight. Unfortunately, that was the end result of that. That whole Bhagavad Gita came because of that. Otherwise, we wouldn't have had those 700 shlokas if Arjuna had not refused to fight. So we have to thank him, even though he was confused about his duty, but at least we got this beautiful knowledge. So thank you for that comment, Kerry. Everybody heard you because you are on a mic. We have a speaker here. So whatever questions you ask, the audience here can hear, or any comments. Anybody else? Hansa, you would like to add anything? We have a couple of 1 or 2 minutes.
Different way.
Yeah.
When you work, I'm looking at personal way, I'm not looking at but publicness. When you work with the sattvic mind,
right?
Your mind is at peace.
Yes.
You're totally focused in your work, and that work comes out pure.
Very good.
And most likely perfect. But it can fail if your calculations are wrong somewhere, right. But it doesn't affect you. He tried his best. So he's not has a lot of thing other process in the head while he was working. So he's at completely at peace, totally mm-hmm. focused on the work that he's picking up. And he picks up the work that he is actually capable of doing.
Yes.
If he can't do it, he will clearly say, I can't do this work. So it's not like sattvic person has to do any work that comes in the way. They should be able to say, no, I can't do this. That's a difference between tamasic and a sattvic.
Right.
So now, in a rajasic person, that person is so much engrossed in getting the fruit, he's anxious about the fruit throughout his process.
Right.
And that anxiety makes him make mistakes in it. Mm. And the result that should come out might take longer time, may not come out exactly as he wants, and then he gets frustrated.
Right.
So that is another thing that we all have to learn.
Right.
That our emotions would, does affect this our character, right? The Sikh character affects our emotions, which disturbs you. The tamasic person has no idea what work he's taking up. He doesn't really, he just wants to show people that, I can do anything. And they just go and do anything and they can't do it. And then in the middle of the thing, they either give up or hurt himself or hurt somebody. I mean, hurting is long way, but even the work itself gets damaged.
Yeah, thank you. I'll just share it with the Zoom audience. Thank you for very good comments. So Hansa says that when a sattvic person works, his mind is at peace. He's doing the right thing. And even if he's not worried about the result, he does his best. And even if it does not succeed, but at least he has done his job. Rajasic is focused on competition, what I can get. And the sattvic knows what are his abilities and does within his ability. Rajasic does for competition and tamasic doesn't care whether he has the ability or not, but does actions. And so then the rajasic person's mind is always disturbed because he's competing, he's fighting. So thank you, Hansa, for these comments. So we'll end here. Next week, we'll continue. We'll do the karta, the doer, sattvic, rajasic or tamasic karta. We'll do the closing. Om sarve bhavantu sukhinah, sarve santu niramayah, sarve bhadrani pasyantu, ma kaschid dukha bhag bhave. Om shanti shanti shantihi, harihi om shri gurubhyo namaha, harihi om. Induji, you have any comment, last anything?
Main ye keh rahi thi ki insaan के अंदर स्वयं इतने अवगुण रहते हैं फिर भी वो दूसरों के अवगुणों को ही ऐसा क्यों देखता है
तो नेक्स्ट वीक वो करेंगे says that a person has so many faults why does he look at faults of others we don't have time so next week we'll start with धन्यवाद थैंक यू हरि ओम
थैंक यू
हरि ओम थैंक यू
हरि ओम
Thank you, Hari Om.
Can I take care of it?